To refresh your memory, we were discussing a sign that I had seen. The sign said simply, "Gone fishing." We mentioned some things for which we might go fishing as Christians. We mentioned that fishing was a prominent occupation in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus invited fishermen to follow him. We read an episode from Luke chapter 5 at verses 4 through 7 where Jesus had used a boat as a pulpit to teach a multitude. The fishermen had gone out of this boat. They were engaged in washing their nets. And Jesus entered into one of those ships and sat down. And he taught the people from the ship. And then at verses 4 through 7 of Luke 5, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." According to the record, the fishermen had been engaged in fishing through the night. They had been unsuccessful in that endeavor. Jesus invited Peter to launch out into the deep. Peter displayed an attitude that would benefit our lives greatly. "At thy word, I will." Peter recalled the night in which he had been engaged in fishing. He recalled that that exercise had been completely unfruitful. But there was something about the command of Jesus that prompted Peter to an act of obedience. If we take this example of Peter, we can understand that at the word of Christ, we are to be obedient. Regardless of what endeavor we might have sought, regardless of what effort we might have put forth, we need to be obedient to the word of Jesus. And as Peter responded to the word of Christ in obedience, we find that he was successful. The nets that were cast enclosed a great multitude of fishes, so much so that those nets began to break and help from the partners of Peter had to be summoned. In our desire to do the will of God, we will be successful just as Peter was successful. As we examined that idea of going fishing, we mentioned that we need to fish for the souls of men. Jesus, in fact, insisted that Peter and his partners become fishers of men. We must have a concern for the souls of people. The church is engaged in the act of soul winning. That is our mission and our responsibility and the very reason for which we were established. We also mentioned that we need to have a desire for individual perfection. We need to desire that we as individuals become better people, that we conform our hearts and lives to the way of Christ. We are to develop godliness. We are not to allow the world to dictate our behavior and to dictate the way we think, but rather we are to think and act as Christ set the example for us. We need to seek to become better each day and improve our own individual lives. And then we mentioned a deeper faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We move from little faith to great faith. Jesus, in one of his episodes with the disciples, condemned their lack of faith. He reminded them that they had little faith when they should have been moving toward a greater faith. The works that Jesus performed should have demonstrated to them the power that Christ possessed and should have instilled within them a desire to move from little faith to great faith. As we read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we are informed of those individuals of old who served God because of their faith and how they were motivated by the promises of God and by the sayings of God and how they acted. Not necessarily because they had an understanding of all things, not necessarily because they could foresee the end result, but simply because their faith in God moved them to perform as God requested. This afternoon we'll suggest two other motives and acts that we need to demonstrate in our lives. I would suggest that we need to develop within our lives a more fervent prayer life. I believe that all of us pray. I believe that all of us understand the need to pray. But do we have a fervent prayer life? Do we have a real active prayer life? Do we pray often and much and consistently? In the book of Daniel, at chapter 6, we have recorded for us an episode in the life of this young man. And Daniel was a young man. Daniel, along with many of his countrymen, were in captivity, Babylonian captivity. And then the Babylonian captivity became the Persian captivity. And Daniel is away from home. I don't know if he's away from family or if his family is with him, but nonetheless, he demonstrates great character in this captivity. And as Daniel refuses to engage in certain practices because of his faith and because of his resolve to be faithful to God, these people decide that they're going to have to find something between Daniel and his God. And so they persuade the king to pass a decree concerning praying to God. None can pray to the God of heaven. They must consult the idols of these pagans and heathens. And so the king signs that writing. And in signing that writing, it became a law. And in verse 10, the record says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his chamber, opened his window toward Jerusalem, and prayed as he had aforetime." Daniel had a custom of praying to the God of heaven. And the law of the land was not going to change that custom. The word of the king was not going to alter Daniel's practice. We see here in this verse that prayer was not simply something that Daniel did when the need arose, but rather it was the custom, it was the practice of his life, it was a habit with him. How wonderful it would be if more Christians would develop Christian habits. And prayer is one of those habits that we need to develop. A habit is something that we do really without thought and without due consideration. Daniel had a habit of praying as he did aforetime. Daniel understood the necessity of prayer. Prayer is the opportunity that we have to speak to the Heavenly Father. Prayer is an occasion where we can relate our needs and our feelings, our emotions, our anxieties, our request unto the Heavenly Father. And we have the assurance that God listens and hears that which we pray. In the 5th chapter of the Epistle of James, at verses 16 through 18, the Scripture says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." The purpose of confession and praying is healing. Healing of our faults comes through confession and prayer. We ought to be able to confess faults or sins to one another with a compassionate understanding and praying for one another so that we are healed. James further says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Prayer is to come because we are righteous. Prayer is to be effectual. And the Scripture says that it will avail much. Prayer will accomplish much. Prayer has the power to change the mind of God. And then he reminds us of an individual in the Old Testament who was a man of prayer. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was a man just as we are. Elijah faced troubles and problems just as we do. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. So Elijah prayed, He prayed earnestly, the Scripture says. There is a difference between prayer and earnest prayer. There is a difference between prayer and effectual prayer. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, at chapter 11 and verse 2, the Scripture relates that the people of God, on one occasion, as they did on other occasions, began to murmur. These people were not always satisfied with their conditions. And so on this occasion, they began to murmur against God. And the Bible says that the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them. God was displeased because of their murmuring. And as a result of that displeasure, He caused a fire to burn among them and consume them. And the Scripture says in verse 2 of Numbers 11 that the people ask Moses, and Moses prayed for them, and the fire was stayed. Here the people make a request of Moses. And Moses prays on the behalf of the people. Moses prays unto the Lord. And as a result of that prayer, the request that Moses made unto God, then the fire was stayed. The Lord heard Moses, and the Lord answered Moses according to the prayer that he prayed. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, at verses 5 through verse 13, Jesus talks about prayer and the manner in which we ought to pray. He said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, or his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Now here is the occasion. This man needs bread because someone has come to him. And so he goes to a friend and makes a request for bread. But it's a late hour. His friend has already locked the door. His friend has already put his children to bed. And he doesn't feel very accommodative toward his friend who makes this request. The conditions are not right. But though he will not give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he answers his request. The man continues to knock. The man continues to plead. And as a result of the persistence on his part, the importunity on his part, then the friend rises up and gives him the bread that he asked. "And I say unto you," verse 9, "ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? If a son asks bread of a father, is the father going to give him something that is harmful or that he does not need? Or is he going to answer that request? And so the question of Jesus is, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things or the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Jesus here in this lesson speaks of the persistence that we are to have in prayer. We are to pray fervently. We are to pray consistently. We are to pray with persistence. And the Bible teaches that that prayer will avail much. So let's develop a more fervent prayer life. And then let us suggest that we develop a more faithful reading of the Bible. We mentioned this morning that we're to be students of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and the disciples are plucking ears of corn, and they are criticized by the religious leaders because they're doing this on the Sabbath. And in verse 3 of Matthew 12, Jesus said, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry?" These religious people should have read. Jesus was telling them, you're to be readers of the law. You should be familiar with what David did when he was hungry and how he violated a sacred principle on that occasion. But the answer of Jesus to the criticism of these religious people was that they should have a familiarity with Scripture. In the 21st chapter also of Matthew, there is an occasion also where Jesus has taught a parable. The parable begins, there was a certain householder, and so sometimes we refer to it in our giving of names to the parables as the parable of the householder. And as Jesus teaches this lesson, He wants to make an application to those who are hearing the lesson. And so in verse 42, He said, "Did ye never read in the Scripture?" We understand from these two passages that the Scripture is to be read. We are to be readers of the Bible. The Word of God should be read more frequently, with greater urgency, with more serious contemplation than anything else we would read. Parents want their children, grandparents want their grandchildren to read books. We desire them to read lessons in school. But that which should be read with greater diligence is the Word of God. And so Jesus points these religious teachers to the concept of reading. In Acts chapter 8, we are introduced to the nobleman from Ethiopia. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, you recall. And the Lord commissions Philip from the region of Samaria, where he is preaching the things concerning the kingdom of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the desert, a deserted area, and join himself to this chariot and engage in a study with this nobleman. And in verse 30 of Acts chapter 8, we find that this nobleman, as he is traveling from Jerusalem back to his home in Ethiopia, he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. As he's traveling along in his chariot, he's using that opportunity as a time to read. Most of us perhaps read the newspaper to find what's taking place in our world, what events are occurring. We're to read the Bible. We're to be Bible readers, so that we know what God wants us to know. Many people are ignorant of the Bible because they do not read the Bible. In Ephesians 3 and verse 4, Paul said that the mystery of Christ could be understood, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. By reading, the Ephesians would be able to comprehend or understand the great mystery of Christ. We need to be faithful readers of the Word of God. You recall in Luke chapter 10, there is a young man, beginning at about verse 25, who comes to Jesus. And he says, "What good thing can I do to inherit eternal life?" That's life's greatest question. Oh, tonight, that all men would ask that question. Would it not be wonderful if tonight all people everywhere were interested in the answer to that question? And how commendable it is that here is a young man who is interested in eternal life. He asked the Lord, "What can I do to inherit eternal life? I want you to tell me what I can do." Jesus did not tell him. Jesus said, verse 26, Luke 10, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Why don't you read it? And then you will know what to do to inherit eternal life. But Jesus wanted this young man to read the law so that he might understand the law. The first beatitude of Revelation 1 in verse 3 is, "Blessed is he that readeth and that hears the words of this prophecy and keeps those things that are written therein." A blessing comes from reading. We find comfort in reading the Word of God. We get instruction from reading the Word of God. We come to know God in reading the Bible. And we have access to the Bible. And so we ought to read. Not a day should go by that we do not read the Word of God. We need to reserve time in our lives. And I understand that our lives are busy. I understand that our lives... Hey. every day. Less diversity. And there would be less.